Oh boy. So last week we talked about the angel coming to Zacharias to tell him that his wife Elizabeth would soon be becoming pregnant with their son John, who would come to be known as John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus and paved the way for him. The reason that's important to the Christmas story is that there's more to the story than just Jesus being born. Prophecies had to be fulfilled. Things had to happen before Jesus could come in order for him to be who he said he was. So Jesus came after John, and John paved the way, told everybody that Jesus was coming soon, that the kingdom of God was at hand, kingdom of God coming to earth. This week we're going to talk about the angel some more. This week we're going to talk about the angel coming to Mary to tell her what was going to happen, and also coming to Joseph to tell him what was happening. You know, the appearance of angels is... it's always miraculous. It's always extremely important. There are only so many times that angels have come to people on earth to give them messages. And so they're always important, and they are worth spending time on. But that's not the only miracles that happened. There are a lot of things concerning the birth of Jesus that can be considered miraculous. And some of them are more understated. Not something that is so easily seen, like a virgin conception, or angels appearing, or visions or dreams, but things that have to do with people's attitudes. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Miracles are a big part of this season, it seems like. People on TV, even completely secular TV show, talk, oh, it's a Christmas miracle. Whether that miracle is family coming together that hasn't been together, or a change in someone's attitude, the Grinch growing that heart three sizes too big, that kind of thing. And, honestly, I don't know. I sometimes wonder if God doesn't do more miracles this time of year as we come toward celebrating Jesus' coming to earth. Maybe so. Maybe so. But it's important that we not forget the first and most important of Christmas miracles. Jesus was born of a virgin, the Son of God. And today we're going to look at that. A story we're all familiar with, but a story so important that it can't be repeated enough. So let's look together at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. I love that. She was perplexed at this statement. The angel comes in and says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Huh? It cracks me up a little bit. He doesn't say, "Don't be afraid," this time. He just says, "Greetings, favored one." That has nothing to do with my sermon, but it's funny. So we see here a few things that are important to the whole picture. Okay, first it says that he came to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. It's important. Because if we look at Isaiah 7:14, There we go. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. It's important. It was something that had to be. It was something that God told of a long time before Jesus actually came. The Messiah, God with us, Emmanuel, would be born of a virgin. It's an important thing because it's prophecy. It's also important because it once again just shows God's power in this. You know, with Zacharias and Elizabeth, it was a miracle. It was, because she was unable to have children up until that point. But God still used the natural order of things to make it happen. It was still Zacharias' son. It was still Elizabeth's son. But in this case, God shows his power even more in that he conceived in Mary his son. That's a big deal. It's also an important thing that he was a descendant of David. We look in Jeremiah 23:5, which says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land." They had to be descendants of David. It's interesting. Both Matthew and Luke give the genealogy of Christ. Clear back to David. What's interesting to me is that both Matthew and Luke show a little bit of their personalities in writing these genealogies. Matthew was, well, let's say he was a Jew's Jew. You know, he was a Jewish writer writing to Jewish people. And when he gave the genealogy of Christ, he gave it from Joseph's line. Joseph being the more important one because he's the father. And that's, of course, Jewish culture. I'm not saying that that's, you know, really he's the important one. He's important, don't get me wrong, but maybe not the most important. And so Matthew, being a Jewish man, writes the genealogy of Christ through Joseph. Luke is a physician. DNA hadn't been discovered or anything like that, but I can't help but think that's just how his mind works, because Luke did the genealogy of Jesus through Mary. I find that interesting. Now, it may not be all that interesting to us to look at those genealogies, to trace back Jesus' line all the way back to David, but to the Jewish people, it was extremely important. Most people during this time could trace their lineage back to Abraham. All the way back. Generation, 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 generation. And that's like, I don't know how many years I'd have to look that up, but it was a long time between the generation that was alive during Jesus' birth clear back to Abraham. It was a long time. And they could trace their lineage back all that way. That was part of what was important to them, being able to show which tribe of Israel they were a part of. And so, knowing that Jesus was a descendant of David, partially because of the prophecy and partially because those kind of things were important to them, was an extremely important part of Jesus' coming. And then the angel tells her what's going to happen. He explains that strange salutation. Verses 30 through 37. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." There it is. "Do not be afraid. For you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's leave that slide up here for a little bit. So the angel tells her what will happen, and this has to be a scary thing. Not only is the angel an angel, which we talked about last week, that's a scary situation, but she knew what this would likely mean to her status. Not very many people are going to believe in a virgin conception. How would her fiancé react? How would her parents react? Her community? Back in those days, having a child out of wedlock didn't get you a TV show. It might get you with rocks thrown at you. It could get you killed. It was a very, very... It was a serious thing. And it had to be a scary thing for her. But, on the other hand, what an honor. How exciting to know that your son would be a king. What a blessing to be so near to the Son of God. So how does she react? Does she freak out? Does it swell her head? Does she just run for the hills? No. No. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She doesn't lose it. She doesn't become proud. She just humbly submits to God's will. What an example. What an example of acceptance to God's call to serve. Think back to the last time you felt God leading you to do something hard. Maybe you grumbled. Maybe you just plain didn't do it. It's not easy to do some acts of service to God, but the next time you're about to grumble over doing something that God would want you to do, next time you're about to just, I don't think I really need to do that. Remember Mary here. Remember how hard this was going to be for her. Remember how much harder this would have been for her. A teenage girl. What do we really have to grumble about? If God is entrusting us with a higher level of responsibility, the correct response is joy. Joy that we've made it that far. Joy that we have been given the opportunity to do something hard for God. Mary's response was joy. Joy despite the fact that she didn't know how her fiancé was going to respond to this. But of course, we know that God had that well in hand as well. Matthew 1, 18 through 24. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they should call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife. Now, the account of the time before Jesus' birth in Matthew is a lot shorter than it is in Luke. Luke is what we usually use to tell the story of Jesus coming. But in Luke, it doesn't really talk about Joseph at all. The angel comes to Joseph in a dream. And it would have been a hard thing for Joseph, too. I mean, obviously hard for Mary, but hard for Joseph, too. This girl he is supposed to marry has presumably been with someone else. He is disgraced. But he is a good man and willing to send her away without making it public, without making it worse for her or having her harmed. But then the angel comes in a dream. In a dream. Personally, I think if the angel had shown up in person, that would be a lot easier to take. I have had a lot of really crazy dreams. I don't know about anybody else here. I don't really wake up from a dream and think, oh, yeah, I should change my life because of this dream. I should go ahead and do whatever it was I heard in this dream. When I was, probably my most memorable dream was when I was really young, probably 4 or 5 years old. And I had a dream that pancakes and butter and syrup were chasing me down to eat me. And the next morning, my dad woke up early and was making pancakes. And I was like, I think I'll pass. If I lived my life according to that dream, I would live in a fear of pancakes and butter and syrup. If you look at me, I don't fear butter. So the angel comes to Joseph in a dream. And even though it's a dream, he is still obedient to God's will. He does as he is told. You got to wonder what all of the motivations, you know, of this entire situation. What is causing him to be obedient? What is it that is helping him to do these things that God is telling him to do? You know, I mean, is it just sheer obedience? You hear from God and you do it because he said so? Which, I mean, honestly, if God tells you to do something, that's enough reason. But you also think maybe he was thinking through these other benefits, being close to the Messiah. Being close to this person who you've learned about since your youth as a Jewish man, that your people have been waiting for thousands of years. Who wouldn't go for any chance they could get to be close to the Son of God? To see God working in the world through the boy you raised. It may not have been the reason he was obedient, but it had to be an amazing benefit to that obedience. You know, though, no matter what the reason that Joseph followed those commands that he received in this dream, he did follow those commands. And to me, that's one of those understated miracles. The miracle in Joseph's attitude. Because, you know, if one didn't know better, they could try and play it off that Joseph was just so in love with Mary that he didn't really want to leave her anyway. But that's honestly pretty unlikely. I mean, we all love a love story, right? But that's not really how things worked. He probably barely knew this girl. Now, the marriage would have been arranged by their families. He probably was considerably older than Mary. And so here we have this guy who's disgraced by this woman who he barely knows. And yet, he was a good man and he wanted to send her away quietly. He could have dealt with her very harshly, but he didn't. He was kind. You know, and already his attitude is better than most. And then he gets this command from God. And he just goes with it. So often during this season, we forget about Joseph. You know, it's all about Mary. But Joseph was also chosen. Joseph was also chosen to be the adoptive father of the Son of God. He was given a great responsibility to raise Jesus up. And it was a scary and difficult situation, but he, just like Mary, was humble and obedient. It's an amazing thing to think about what these people went through in this time. This wasn't an easy thing. Yes, it was exciting. Yes, it was joyous, but it was hard. But we can't forget about the joy either. So we go back to looking at the rest of Mary's story here in verse 39 through 45 of Luke 1. Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." So Mary found out that Elizabeth was pregnant from the angel. So this meeting had to be extremely exciting for her. Not only she finding out that she's going to be having a baby, but she found out that her cousin is also having a baby. You know, cousins are close in some families and not so close in others. You know, in my family, the cousins were always pretty close. You know, we were together at every holiday, played together, everything like that. My older brother, you know, his best friend throughout his entire life has been his cousin, who was about the same age. And you get the idea here that Mary and Elizabeth, though they were not close in age, were close. And I always imagine this. I always imagine this get-together of Mary and Elizabeth to... Oh, maybe I'm modernizing it too much. Maybe women were more reverent in those times. But I doubt it. So I imagine that when these two got together, there was a lot of jumping up and down and squealing. You know, don't you just see that in this? I do, every time. Just, you know how women do. Yeah! You've all seen it. But anyway, you know, there is a lot of excitement. This was a joyous time for them. So joyous that Mary was moved to proclaim the poem that we've heard earlier today. That was the scripture reading for today. And then Mary stayed with her for about 3 months. And, you know, there's this interesting thing pregnant women do called nesting. I assume there was a lot of nesting going on. As Mary was there and helping Elizabeth in the last few months. And then it doesn't seem, though, that Mary stuck around for the birth of John. And maybe it was just a more private thing in those days. But John is born and prophecies are fulfilled. And it's a really exciting time for everyone involved. It's a good thing. And it's a good thing to be reminded of as we move forward. But I want to spend a little bit of time as I close here to talk about something that was said to Mary. I think I put a slide up for it. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Nothing will be impossible with God. You know, life is really difficult sometimes. Sometimes it seems like nothing is going right. And I want to share this with you because it's been a help to me. And sometimes it just breaks me out of these funks that I get in. When things are at their worst and it's like all is lost and you're helpless and hopeless, I want you to do this for me. I want you to remember, think of those who, like Mary, selflessly and without grumbling, submitted themselves to God's will. And ask yourself how you could be more like that. And then I also want you to remember this little song that I heard so many times when I was a kid. And let me tell you a little story about why I heard this so many times when I was a little kid. I was a brat. And during Sunday school, when I was little, my dad would lead a singing time. And he would often ask, "Okay, is there any songs that anybody wants to hear?" And I would say, "Nothing." And he would spark up with this song, which has been such a great help to me, so I'm actually thankful for my dad's, patience with me for not just smacking me across the room. And then also the quick wit of my father. When I would ask to sing "Nothing," he would sing, "Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Oh, great and mighty God, great and mighty counsel is he." I think that's the words. "Nothing." Awesome power. Okay, well, "great and awesome power is he. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee." So many times did I hear that song and listen to it like this. But I'm thankful for that because when those words come to my mind. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine great power. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. It's from Jeremiah 32:17, if you want to know. Nothing is too difficult for God. Even taking away your pain, nothing is too difficult for God. You know, sometimes the Christmas season is not always so joyful for some. Sometimes the Christmas season can be a painful reminder of loss we have experienced. But nothing is too difficult for God. Even bringing people together, nothing is too difficult for God. Even helping, nothing is too difficult for God. Even healing, nothing is too difficult for God. Even bringing in those friends and family who you know are lost, bringing them into the grace of God, nothing is too difficult for Him. Mary and Joseph were true servants in this conception and birth of our Savior, chosen because of their line and made to deal with other parts of the prophecy, such as virgin birth, but chosen by God to raise and nurture His only Son. And having proven themselves that with God all things are possible. And next week, Saturday we'll have the Christmas Eve service. We'll go through these, through the rest of this story and sing and just celebrate together. And then next Sunday I'm going to talk about God appearing to the most unlikely of people to be the first to know of His Son's coming. But I can only show you so much in sermon, so I'm going to show you a quick video of people who can tell the story much better than I can.
Some diapers, some water,
We should all thank Kim O'Grady for finding that gem for us. Oh, man. Well, a couple of quick things. I'm done talking, but I did want to point out and remind you, if you didn't read in the email, that as we're coming to the end of the year, we're going to be coming to the beginning of the next year. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. And with that, we'll be having our yearly meeting. And if you want to be involved on anything that requires a vote, you need to be a member. I don't care for the word membership in the church. As far as I think, if you are here, then you're part of the church. But the state doesn't agree with me. So, we do have these membership covenants. If you want to become a member of the church, read this over, fill it out as you will. It says at the bottom here, membership of this congregation shall be open to those who hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, obey Jesus according to the Scriptures in repentance, public confession of faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and baptism by immersion into Christ. And also continue steadfastly in worship and fellowship within GC3. You must be at least 18 years old to participate in any matter entitling a member to vote. If you follow those things and you are not actually signed up as a member of the church, please just sign up, fill out this covenant. And if you are missing any of those parts, if you've never made a public confession of faith in Jesus Christ, or you've never been immersed into Christ, come and talk to me. Talk to me about baptism. If you've never been immersed, I'd love to talk to you about that and why it's so important. Other than that, fill that out and be in preparation for the annual meeting in January, 29th, I think. All right.